By the way, let me just pastor some of y'all a little bit more. 1 Corinthians 14, 15. What's the conclusion then, Paul says? I will pray in the Spirit, and I also pray with my understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I also sing with my understanding. Singing in the Spirit is scriptural, 1 Corinthians 14, 15. The whole heart of 1 Corinthians 14 summarized in the last two verses, verse 39, says, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. Verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. It's both. It's both. So just want to encourage you, and I'm encouraging you because sometimes I've noticed some people almost turn 1 Corinthians 14 into some sort of Pentecostal legalism. Like if this happens in a service, something is wrong. Nothing is wrong. It's just that it needs to be done decently and in order. Okay, what's the theme that we're on for a long time right now? Grace. And specifically, we're in a series on pride and humility, the freedom that comes, humility, the freedom that comes when pride goes. And let's see, about a month ago after a sermon, Renee told me that she had something, and I thought to myself, great, she's going to teach it. Like, just that was the witness in my spirit. So we talked, and I think I can say Renee was not necessarily thinking that she was going to teach this whole thing. And but I just really felt like it was going to be. So I told her I'd partner with her, and we'd just kind of go back and forth in the message, or she'd teach as long as she wanted, and then I'd pick up from there. Well, the Lord kept downloading things to her, so I'm assuming she'll pretty much take the remainder of the time today. If she doesn't, then I'll step in, but... here's a few things I just want to say about Renee is that she's a very gifted teacher. Very gifted teacher. Raise your hand if you've experienced the blessing of Renee's teaching in your life. Do you see all of those hands go up? The women's group is completely transformative, and that's because of all the women that are there, but Renee's really the spearhead of that effort. And so her ministry has transformed many lives. So I just want to encourage you to receive from her significantly. I'll also say this, not only is she a gifted teacher, but she carries great authority in the Spirit. I don't know how to say it. I can just sense sometimes people's sort of spiritual metron, as the Bible calls it in the Greek. And Renee has great authority in the Spirit. So not only is she carrying a powerful revelation, but she's carrying it with the authority to release something to you that can be transformative today. So without further ado, I want you to welcome Renee in a way that honors her so that you would receive the reward that she carries for you today.
How this came about was when Peter was talking, I think it was about a month ago, I was sitting in my seat, and I was just so excited because so much of what Peter was talking about was in a book that I wrote on the wilderness about the Israelites who went through the wilderness to the promised land. It's not close enough? Okay. Can you hear now? Okay. Okay, so let me back up. The reason I'm up here today is because about a month ago, Peter was talking about some things. And as he was talking, I was in my seat just coming unglued because so much of what he was talking about is in a book that I wrote. It took me 13 years to write it, about the Israelites as they went from Egypt through the wilderness to the promised land. So I called Peter to share the things with him, and that's when he said, do you want to share it on a Sunday? And after some silence, he said, just a little bit. And I said, okay, I can do a little bit. But as, like he said, in the last few weeks, the little bit became the whole sermon. And I had a title, and God changed the title a few days ago. And the title is A Personal Invitation. And there are a couple things. I first want to say that this message is going to be so simple, don't let it deceive you. And also, it is very individual. That's why it's not just an invitation. It's a personal invitation. And Aaron set it up so well in worship because I stopped and wrote some of it down. I couldn't get all of it. She said, who's going to sing my song? No one but me can lift up my praise. Every one of us needs to be saying that, because I know something so deep about this church that God spoke to me years ago. I gave a word at this church. And I don't know the exact, I can't find it exactly, but I do know this. He said that our church is going to be a birthing center, that he wants to do something with this church, but it's only going to happen as each of us individually heed his call on our life. It's going to come first individually. There's going to be an individual revival within each of us first, and then it's going to happen corporately, but it won't happen without the individual. And I'll tell you what, he gave me a practical thing to share with you. When Aaron and Derek stopped the instruments and just had us singing, think about it for a minute. If none of us sang, how would it sound? Or if just one of us sang, how would it sound? Or just five of us sang? But what does it sound like when we all go for it, right? Unashamedly, and just go for it. What would happen in this place? And it's the same thing that happens on Wednesday nights at the women's group when we pray in the Spirit. And Erin is usually the loudest, and I'm so glad when she's there because I know she'll help carry us. But one night God said to me, because Erin wasn't there, and he said, I don't want people relying on Erin. Just like he doesn't want us relying on Peter, he doesn't want us relying on Aaron and Derek. We can't go where God wants to take us if we are relying on them. And so what I want to say to you is, I believe in the deepest part of my heart that we are in a Kairos time. And I've known this for a while just because of so many different things that are happening. There's no way I could even get into all of them, but so many things are happening so that I know that we are. And I know what Kairos means. And I'm going to tell you right now about the simplicity of this message. Don't do what I did with Kairos. For the last week and a half, I was saying, I know what Kairos means. I don't need to look that up. And the Holy Spirit kept saying, look it up. And I'm like, I know what it means. I don't need to look it up. So finally last night, I thought, I'm going to look it up just to see. And I always thought Kairos means, and it does, an opportune time. And when I looked it up, it says an opportune time for action. And just like Peter just said, whoa, I can't tell you how many woes have happened as I've been preparing this, what I'm going to share today. And that was one of them. I went, whoa. And whose action is God asking for? Each person in here individually. So again, this is called a personal invitation. To what? God wants in more. He wants in more. See how simple this is? He wants in the smallest part of your life to the biggest part of your life. He wants in more from the good and the bad. And if you remember nothing from what I share today, this is the one statement that I want you to remember. He just wants you to invite him in. And that statement, I know, is straight from the heart of the Father to you, because as I was preparing this message for today, that's the statement he gave me. And then I prepared the message over several days. And then one day, I don't know, like 5 or 6 days ago, I thought, you know what? I haven't heard Peter's message for a month, and I want to make sure I haven't gone off track somewhere, and that I'm staying on where he was, because God's downloaded so much. And so I opened up his message, and do you know what the title of that message was? He just wants you to invite him in. It was another one of those, whoa. And I thought, oh, wait a minute. I when I was reading his, that, he just wants you to invite him in, I thought, oh, I must not have said it exactly like that. Because you could say it, he wants you to invite him in. He just wants us to invite him in. He's wanting you to invite him in. There are so many different ways to say that. Uh-uh. He just wants you to invite him in. I could also say the same thing this way. This is a personal invitation to humility. This is a personal invitation to humility. You know why? Because humility is nothing more than this, total dependence on God. It's just total dependence on God. But the problem is, we don't realize how independent we are. Because it's just part of our nature, the part of our soul that hasn't been totally sanctified yet. Because we tend to default into Genesis 3, you will be like God. And we do that because we fall into the same thing that Eve did. That God, sometimes I don't think he's totally trustworthy or faithful or that he's got our back. So we have to take care of ourselves. And the most interesting thing happened, I was talking to Brenda this Wednesday. We went to lunch, and I was just talking to her about dependence. And Brenda, in her humble way, started to laugh. And she said, "You're so talking to me." And I just kept talking, and then I came back to that. And I said, "Well, what do you mean? What do you mean by that? I'm talking to you." And she said, "As you're talking about dependence, I feel like a lifeline has been taken away." And we both laughed, and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, Brenda, that's the exact opposite of how you should feel." But you know what? I feel the same way. Because what God was doing in that moment, as she and I were sharing, is he was revealing within us the thoughts that we do have about him to the deepest, sometimes of the deepest part of our being, that I have to take care of things because he won't. And so I said to her, "You know what? This is good, because when God reveals, he reveals to heal." So we want that coming up. Yeah. We want to know when we say, "Okay, total dependence on God," or when Bill Johnson says, "I want you, God, I want more of you, God, at any cost." And I say, "I can't say that." "Well, why can't I say that?" Obviously, I'm not totally and completely depending on him and trusting on him. So we have Genesis 3 versus Proverbs 3. And we all know it, right? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. That's the flesh. That's pride. That's independence from God. But in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your paths or make your paths straight or smooth. In one commentary I read, the word ways, you can just translate it into days. And acknowledge is knowing. It's a direct, intimate contact. So we can take that scripture and say, in all of your days, maintain direct, intimate contact. Recently, I was talking with someone because they were in a crisis, and and God led me to dependence scriptures, because that's where he's had me for several months. Dependence, 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 more dependence on me. And so I wrote out these dependence scriptures for this person, and I shared them with them verbally, but I wanted to write them down. So I took a piece of paper and put it in my Bible with just the references. But I'd never gotten them written down for this person. And so one night, I'm sitting there, I open up my Bible, and I went, "Oh, that's right. There's those dependence scriptures. I never typed them up." Oh, but they don't need them anymore because they're out of the crisis. And all of heaven went, "Whoa. Whoa." And I went, "Oh my gosh, God. I am so sorry that I would think that just because the person is out of the crisis, they don't need these dependence scriptures anymore." It was revealing to me, oh, we only need him when we're in the hard times. And so he immediately said, "Stay forever dependent." And then he gave me immediately three scriptures, out of Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy, this is Moses, who we're going to get to in a minute. I just love Moses. He's one of my favorite people in all the world. And when I get to heaven, he's one of the first people I want to see. But this was his farewell address right before he died. He's the one who led the people from Egypt to the Promised Land. And so here he is giving his farewell address. We should listen to what he has to say. One of the places he says, "Beware," when you get into the Promised Land, when you get into the good times, "beware lest you forget." And I know we all sit here saying, "I would never forget God." Then why would Moses say, "Beware"? Then he says, and he also says in another place, "And you shall remember the Lord your God." And then in another place, he says, "Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived." So take heed, beware, don't forget God. Why would he be so emphatic? Because he knows that that's our nature to forget. So I want to look at a couple of people and examples of dependence, because that's what God's calling us to, greater dependence on him. Remember, he just wants you to invite him in. I'm going to say it over and over, because again, that's all I care that you walk away with. He just wants you to invite him in. And it's a Kairos time. So examples of dependence. Of course, who is our perfect example of dependence on the Father? Jesus, right? Perfect dependence on the Father. Jesus says in John 5:19, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do." John 5:30, "I can of myself do nothing." And this book I was reading said this: this statement reveals the dependence Jesus had on an intimate relationship with the Father. Remember, in all our days, maintain a direct, intimate contact with the Father. So this statement reveals the dependence Jesus had on an intimate relationship with the Father. If Jesus, the divine Son, could do nothing apart from relationship with the Father, how much less will we do without him? And I read that in that book that day, and I was just, for some reason, hit between the eyes. It was like, I obviously think I can do some things without the Father. Because if I didn't think that, why am I not with him as much as Jesus was with him? If Jesus Christ had to be with the Father as much as he was, sometimes spending all night in prayer, what makes me think I don't need to? Then the other example is Moses. And again, I said he's one of my favorite people in the Bible. And to see his relationship with God, I mean, I've read about Moses a million times in the writing of my book. But just last night, again, I was going through some stuff in preparation for today. And again, I just saw his relationship with our Father. And it shows the love and care and patience of our Father with us. So let's look at Moses, because he's a fabulous example of someone who was totally prideful and became totally dependent. We all know the story of Moses, right? He was raised by Pharaoh's daughter, so he was raised with all the things that you can get in the king's palace. And it says in Acts that Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was very eloquent. And he was, in a way, full of himself. And so at 40 years old, he goes out, he sees an Egyptian beating up a Hebrew, one of his people. And what does he do? He kills the Egyptian. And this is what it says: "For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand." He wasn't saying God's hand. He was saying, "For he had supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand." Now, was God going to use Moses to deliver them? Yes. But Moses went before the presence. And what happened? We all know what happened. He ended up in the desert for 40 years. Because of why? Pride. He was doing it independently of God. Did God disqualify him at that moment? Nope. And so God just sent him to the desert for 40 years. Then God calls him at the burning bush. And Moses says, "Who am I that I should go?" Because then at the burning bush, God's saying, "Okay, now it is time. Now you're going to do what you tried to do 40 years ago on your own, right? But now it's time, because yes, you are the deliverer. You were called to be the deliverer, and now you're going to do it." And this is Moses' response: "Who am I that I should go?" God did not respond to him by saying anything about who Moses was. Nothing. He said, this is what God said, "I will certainly be with you." He didn't say, "I will be with you." He goes, "I will certainly be with you. Now, Moses still said, I don't think I can do this. He says, who should I say is sending me? And God said, I am. I am the Lord, Yahweh, the intimate one. This is the first time the Israelites would ever get to know that name of God, the intimate one, the one that wants to be who you need him to be whenever you need it. So he says, I am has sent me. He said, okay, but what if they don't believe me? What if they don't believe that you've really sent me? So he did the whole thing with the rod. And he said, take this rod, turn it into a snake, and then pick it back up and it won't be. And then he said, take your hand. We all know this. Take your hand, put it in your bosom. It'll become leprous, put it back in again, and it won't. Take the water out of the river, put it on the ground. It'll become blood. Moses still says, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Again, I mean, I would encourage you to go read this whole interplay between Moses and God. And so God says, don't worry about it. I've got you. And this time he didn't just say, I will be with you. He gets even more specific. And God says, I will be with your mouth. I won't just be with you. I'll be with your mouth. And I'll teach you what to say. But Moses again said, God, can't you send somebody else? Now, this looks like humility, doesn't it? And some people would think this is humility, but it's not. Because back when Moses said, who am I that I should go? And God says, I will certainly be with you. Right there was the choice between pride and humility. Humility says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? And Moses didn't get it. And it says God was angry with him. But God still didn't give up on him. That's what I love about this whole encounter. God still didn't give up on him. God said, okay, you're still going, but Aaron, your brother, he's on his way. He'll be your mouthpiece. So God still worked with him, even in that. But Moses got to a point when they got to the Red Sea and the Israelites were all saying, we can't cross, we can't cross. Moses was saying, yes, we can, because God will deliver us. He learned. He had finally learned just depend on God. And then, and it's interesting because Peter brought this up in the introduction or in worship or something, Moses got to a point in the wilderness where he said, I'm not going into the promised land unless your presence goes with us. And we can read that and think, oh, that's really, you know, cool. But how about when we are in our wildernesses? None of us like the wilderness. The wilderness is a really, really hard place to be. But have we gotten to that place with God where we say, I will stay right here, even if it means the rest of my life, if you don't go with me out of this wilderness? That's the kind of intimacy Moses ended up with God. He just wants you to invite him in. He just wants more humility. He just wants more dependence for what he wants to do here in our body. This is what the Kairos time is right now. He just wants you to invite him in. So let's get practical, because he's been doing this with me for weeks, so I'm kind of getting this a little bit. I had actually forgotten that months ago God was talking to me about this. You know how God does this. Sort of like with Moses. He'll talk to you about something, you forget it, and he'll come back because he's so patient. And he'll come back and talk to you some more. Well, months ago, he was saying to me how he wants to be glorified more through his people, that we can look at a beautiful sunset and glorify God through it. We can look at a beautiful waterfall, and God gets the glory. Because, but I, my human creation, I want to get more glory out of them as they step into the fullness of who they are. But the only way that's going to happen is if I can get in more. And I was asking him, this was several months ago, how do we do that, God? Okay, I hear what you're saying. It makes sense to me, but how do we do that? Then a few weeks later, I totally was forgetting about that whole thing, and I was listening to a Bill Johnson teaching. And he said, like 20 years ago, God, or a voice will come up, and it said this, I will watch your watch if you'll watch me. I will watch your watch if you'll watch me. And then Bill Johnson said, it's the kind of worship where we just give ourselves to God. And as he's speaking, this voice comes, boom. You know how God speaks? You're thinking this way, and this voice comes like this. And God said, that's how you invite me in more. I went, oh my gosh. So that's one way. Just worship him with abandon. And I'm not just talking like on Sunday mornings. I'm talking in our lives. Worship him with abandon. That's how you'll have more of him in you. Second way, just do it. Just go after it. For instance, about a month ago, the day that Peter gave that sermon on dependence, I was driving to church. And I've already told you this, but I'm going to do it again, because that day God was giving everybody a personal invitation. I'm coming back again to give it again. And I was driving to church, and I was pondering about homeschooling my grandsons, because there were some things that I was like, angst about. And I don't know if I can do this justice, but I'll do as much as I can. I'm just driving along, kind of, you know, belaboring this, going, what do I do here? And, da, da, da. And it's almost as if God was sitting in the passenger seat, and he said, would you invite me in? And there's another, whoa. And it brought me to tears because it was so invasive. But it was invasive in a way that was so liberating. He was saying in such a fatherly, gentle, but strong way, you're going over all this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. What was I doing? Lean not on your own understanding in all your days. Maintain intimate contact with me. And I'll direct your paths. You don't think I know what's going on with the homeschooling thing? Invite me in. It was a small thing, kind of a bigger thing, but a small thing. So as you're thinking about things, stop yourself and just say, hey, wait a minute, am I including God in this? Because that's exactly with Moses, the two examples. When he said, hey, I can do this, and he killed the Egyptian, he didn't have God in the equation. But then when Moses said, I can't do this, he didn't have God in the equation. So we just want to make sure in our lives, do we have God in the equation? In the littlest things. Then at work the other day, there was someone who was having, they were having a difficulty. And I overheard it, the conversation that they were having. And I all of a sudden I thought, oh yeah. And I can never remember this sentence. That's how I know it's God. He just wants you to invite him in. So I went to this person and I said, hey, did you by chance ask the Holy Spirit to help you with this dilemma that you've got? And he said, no. And he said, I forget to do that. I said, we all do. We all go about our days, and I'm not saying 24/7 we forget God, but all he's saying is he wants more. And so in those little things where you're thinking about something, just stop and say, oh my gosh, have I asked you, God, to help me on this? And it's been amazing what's been happening in me in the last month and a half since I've been doing this, because I've been testing it out. So the other day, I was talking to somebody, and I wasn't feeling too good about them. Just some things that had happened and transpired in our conversation. So I thought, I'm going to try this out. I don't know how it's going to work in this situation. But I got off the phone. I said, okay, God, I'm going to invite you in. Now, it doesn't always happen right away. In fact, I can't remember all the examples because there's been so many. But within about a minute or two, I started feeling love for that person. And the yuckiness of what I was feeling about them just went away. So as we invite him in, he'll do things. And it's not like he'll always talk to us. He may just change our heart towards someone. But I have to invite him in. So the first way, just worshiping him, giving ourselves to God in worship. Second way, just do it. Just go after it. Third way, study the names of God. Because the names of God will help us to get it, that he's got us covered from one end to the other and all around, he's got us covered. These are just a few of his names. Jehovah Jireh, he's our provider. Jehovah Makedesh, he's our sanctifier. Jehovah Nissi, he's our banner of victory. Jehovah Rapha, he's our healer. Jehovah Shalom, he's our peace. Jehovah Sikkenu, he's our righteousness. Jehovah Rohi, he's our shepherd. Jehovah Shema, he's our ever-present. And then I don't know the name of this one. He's the God who sees. Which one's that, Aaron? Rahi. He's the God who sees. That's one of my favorites. Study the names of God to realize he covers it all. Another way, seek him in the hard places. I remember one time something happened with my grandson, and I was feeling rejected, and God had been speaking to me about seeking him. And it was so interesting. He said, seek me right now. I said, what do you mean right now? In this rejection, he said, seek me. And so I just stopped. I said, like, I don't know what this looks like or how to do it, but I'm just going to sit right here in your presence and seek you in this rejection. And the rejection went, and he just filled me up with his presence. He just wants you to invite him in. And then some of you have probably already heard about this, the welcoming prayer. The welcoming prayer can be very powerful, where you're feeling something you don't want to feel. And we all have this tendency, if we're feeling something we don't want to feel, whether it's loneliness, depression, anxiety, or whatever, we want to push it away. Well, the welcoming prayer says don't push it away. Go ahead and embrace it. In fact, one time, I'll never forget this, it was years ago, and I was feeling some real loneliness and doing what we all do, trying to push it away, and God said, embrace it. And I said, embrace it? He said, just embrace it. Stop pushing it away. Stop running away from it. Just embrace it. And then in the welcoming prayer, then you invite him in. Yes. 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 And Joshua is one of the biggest proponents of this welcoming prayer. It's one of the things that's changed his life, and it will change your life because it's inviting him into that place. Again, we're not doing it alone. We're saying, God, come in. And then just this morning, as I was leaving, he reminded me of another strategy for inviting him in. And it's the quiet time. On Wednesdays, we always pray in the Spirit. When I say Wednesdays, it's the Wednesdays, Women of Agathos. And any woman here, we would love to have you on Wednesdays. And you can come once a year. You can come once, so every 2 weeks when we meet, it doesn't matter. But on Wednesdays, we have a time of praying in the Spirit, and then we get quiet. Because if we're always talking, how can God talk? Right? So we were praying in the Spirit, and then we got quiet, and in my backyard, I could hear, because the door was open, I could hear the birds chirping, and just the peace was so there. It was like just this quiet peace. But then off in the distance, I could hear the cars rushing back and forth. And God showed me like the two realms. The one realm, which we do have to live in. We do have to go here and go there. He's not saying just, you know, sit at home and do nothing forever. That is one realm we do live in. But there's another realm. There's another place that we need more of, and that's the quiet. Just getting quiet before him. And we started this a long time ago, and I remember on our Wednesdays, we'd get really quiet, and you feel sometimes in the quiet like nothing's happening, and God spoke that night, this was a long time ago, and said there can be more that happens in nothing and quiet than in all the activity. And then I heard Heidi Baker speak one day, and she said exactly that, that God said, in the quiet, God can do more than in all the activity. But this last Wednesday goes right along with the Kairos time that we're in right now. Because during the quiet time, God said this. I am calling my people to this. I want to speak. God wants to speak. So we've got to get quiet. We've just got to carve out some of our days, and we're just quiet and still. Because what's the one sentence I want you to take away from this? I'm going to have you all say it exactly. Thank you, Aaron, for trying. But see, that just goes to show you all the different ways it can be said, right? And the fact that he gave me those exact words, and then I had no idea that Peter had said those exact words? So here it is again. He just wants you to invite him in. So I'm going to just end this with prayer, and then I'm going to, Peter, we're going to have just a moment of silence, okay? Because I want to see if the Holy Spirit, if he doesn't say anything to you, don't worry about it right now. It's like, oh my gosh, I didn't hear from him. Doesn't matter. Just give him room. That's all. I remember one time Megan said that. She said, just give him room. I've thought about that so many times. Just give him room. Did you want to say something before I pray?
So guys, I think as part of this, let's just all stand and come closer because I've been, let's just like gather in. You can leave your stuff behind you unless you want to bring it with. But seriously, like come up. Let's get close. We're a family. Okay. The Lord has been speaking through several prophets about worldwide about consecration, and I've really been wrestling with that. Like, what on earth does that mean? That scares me. I'm intimidated. I believe that this is what it means. And so I think just us coming together as a family, as a body, but also as individuals, and let's just take a moment and be in the presence of the Lord in the quiet. But I also, if you're okay with it, I'd like to just have the microphone off, and let's pray as a family together and as individuals just to commit to this, to whatever that means for each one of us. Lord, we invite you in.